you take your Bibles, please, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. This is the third sermon. It hasn't been a series other than the fact it's been the same theme of the end times. Today's message is entitled, It Looks Like It Will Rain. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at a message entitled, As in the Days of Noah, and then last week, The Beginning of Sorrows from Matthew chapter 24, and this morning from Matthew chapter 16. So get a pen or pencil, if you will, please, and lots of things to write down today as we walk through this particular outline, but keep your Bibles open. Now, several years ago, I mean, this was actually back when our kids were young. We had one of our outings on Table Rock Lake one day, a beautiful day, and we ran a large pontoon boat and had taken that pontoon and nestled it back into a small cove, and we spent the day. I mean, we were fishing and swimming and playing on that pontoon, and we had a grill on the pontoon where we were getting ready to cook that afternoon and evening, and very honestly, we had nestled that big old pontoon back behind a tree line, and we just flat out weren't paying attention to the sky. We weren't paying attention to the weather, and we were just having a great time as a family and enjoying that time there on the lake. And when what seemed suddenly a fierce storm came over that tree line and covered that lake. As a matter of fact, when the duck accident happened last summer, one of the first things that Kay and I said to each other, wow, that was just like that storm that we were in, that came up so suddenly, so quickly, and with so much fierce power. And so we like to never got that pontoon away from the rocks and away from the shoreline and out where we could finally get it started and finally get that pontoon moving and going, and then fighting the waves and fighting the winds and what was tremendously scary and difficult and could have been disastrous for us before we finally got that pontoon maneuvered back to shore and back to the dock. We are living today. We are living in the times of the signs. Storm clouds are gathering for the latter day rain. We had better get in the boat and get safely to shore before it is disastrously too late. Well, let's read this passage. We're in Matthew chapter 16. And let's look at these four verses 1 through 4 of Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather because the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today because the sky is red and threatening. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, actually, when I shared this message to you about 3 weeks ago regarding as in the days of Noah, we used this passage as a springboard passage. And I mentioned to you at that time that Jesus was pointing out to them that there's only one sign that I'm going to be giving to you, and that will be simply this: go ahead and kill me, and then 3 days later, check my pulse. Because just like Jonah was in the belly of a large fish for 3 days, that's the way I'm going to be, he said, in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And of course, we're coming upon this glorious time for the Christian church to celebrate a time of the resurrection, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a glorious time for believers as we share together in this particular time of celebration, the fact that Jesus Christ is not dead, but we indeed have a living Savior. And let me say this to you: if you've got a dead Savior, my friend, you got no Savior at all. Now, let me show these four things to you. Get your pen and pencil ready. And there's so much to share with you, and I'm just going to give you a lot of highlights today, and I strongly want to urge you, encourage you to do your own research. There's lots out there. There's lots available, and if nothing else, just pick up the morning newspaper and read it and say, "Oh, wonder what God's up to today," because I'm telling you, He is in fact showing us a multitude of signs. And he said to these religious people of his day, the religionists of the day, he said to them, listen, you can discern the sky and you can discern the weather. Open your eyes. Can you not discern the signs of the times? And that would be the message that I would share today, that we need to open our eyes and open our minds and open our heart to the fact that God is indeed revealing himself. And you'll see that as we go through these points today. But God is dramatically revealing himself to his church today and to the world, if in fact we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. All right, here's the first thing, and that is the signs unveiled. This is a message about the end times, the end of human history as mankind knows it. And it's been predicted now for centuries. But I want to say to you that the time has now come. We are in the end days, the end times. I believe that with all of my heart. And if you haven't understood that the last 2 weeks, I think you will today. Now, last week I talked about signs based on Jesus' teaching of Matthew chapter 24. Let me recap those for you. And that was that people were proclaiming to be Christ, and wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilences, earthquakes and tribulation, death and Christian persecution. Those were the key points that I shared with you from Matthew chapter 24, just the teachings of Jesus Christ when he said these are things to look for. And so we talked about that last week. Now, we're being inundated with biological and geological signs. Now, I want us to look at Luke chapter 21. Jot these passages down so you can do some study on your own. But Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28. And here's what this says: and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. cross. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. How long ago was it that you first heard about a tsunami? Not very long ago, was it? And we've seen them and we hear about them frequently. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Next slide, please. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, are you catching that? When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Now, in recent months, weeks, and days, we have had a myriad of astrological signs as well. Now, after the blood moon tetrad, that was the four lunar eclipses occurring on Jewish high holy days, and I find it interesting that so much of this is happening on Jewish high holy days. Listen, folks, there are biblical high holy days, biblical feasts. They're not just for the Jews, but starting back in Leviticus and throughout Scripture, God's Word gives us instruction about some of these high holy days. But you see, all four of these lunar eclipses, you remember these happening back in 2014 and 2015? And they all occurred on Jewish high holy days. And then the two solar eclipses happening in the middle of those, we have continued to witness signs in the heavens. They're happening all the time, and they are happening more frequently. Now, you may stop and say, well, Jay, these have happened for centuries. Yes, they have. But an interesting thing is that they are happening more and more frequently. And I'll have another thing to show you here in just a few moments about how these things are converging so frequently. And the reality is that in this day and age, even though they have happened for centuries, the reality is that we, the church, need to observe these things as an indication from our Heavenly Father of what we just read moments ago. When you see these things happen, what are we supposed to do? Look up. Let's practice that. Come on. Why? Because our redemption is drawing near. And so as you see these things, instead of just brushing them off like so many people do and say, oh, listen, they've happened frequently. They've happened a lot. They've happened for centuries. Yes, but we're seeing them more and more. We're seeing them more dramatic. And we need to see them as our Heavenly Father saying, hey, kids. Hey, kids. Up here. Look up. Because your redemption is drawing near. Now, the final super blood wolf moon concluding these lunar eclipses happened on January 21st, 2019. Oh, wait, that's this year. Uh-huh. just a couple of months ago. This eclipse was followed by the conjunction of Jupiter and Venus, which was a rare phenomenon that could be seen with the naked eye. Now, there have been a number of significant lunar and solar eclipses, including conjunctions of planets, that have been similar to what occurred at the time leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, many have observed an astronomical alignment that appeared on September the 23rd. Let's go ahead to the next. This is just a graph that shows that showed some of these different lunar and solar eclipses and their dates. And again, these things are readily available. Get on the internet. Listen, and if I'm telling you to get on the internet, let me tell you something. Say this with me. If Jay can do it, I can do it. All right? If Jay can do it, I can do it. Say that again. If Jay can do it, I can do it. Oh, I assure you, there's a whole lot of truth to that one. Get on the internet and study these things. These are readily available. All right, now on September the 23rd, 2017, this perfectly matched the description given in the first two verses of the 12th chapter of Revelation. So go over to Revelation. You know, we're not going to do that now, but jot this down, Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and just study all of Revelation 12. But this particular astronomical alignment that appeared in 2017 on September the 23rd was a perfect matchup of what is described in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And a little over 1 year after the Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 alignment, a rare spectacular meteor shower came to life, raining down hundreds of shooting stars per hour. And the meteorologists said they've never, ever seen anything quite like that. Now, here's a final, another PowerPoint, and that is the final of the full moon trio of 2019 occurred at the time of the spring equinox and very unexpectedly turned blood red over New York City. Nowhere else in the United States did it turn blood red. But it did on, what date did I give you? March the 20th, which happened to be 2 months to the day after New York led the way in the United States in their legislature to put together an extreme, diabolical vote regarding abortion. I found it interesting when I heard about this on March the 20th, and I told Kay, oh, just in New York City, huh? And I think God is saying, hey kids, look up, look up. Convergence of these signs is what is tremendously significant. Yes, signs have been happening for centuries, but the convergence of these signs. Now, this was quoted in WorldNet Daily, and it's a quote by Billy Graham back in 2013. And here's what he said. There's a great deal to say in the Bible about the signs we're to watch for. And when these signs all converge at one place, we can be sure that we're close to the end of the age. And those signs, in my judgment, Billy Graham speaking, are converging now for the first time since Jesus made those predictions. And this was quoted in October in WorldNet Daily, October of 2013. All right, now let me give you the second point this morning, and that is the saga unfolding. The saga unfolding. Now, the purpose of Bible prophecy is not to make a calendar. We like to do that, don't we? We want to know the calendar, and we want to put together our own calendar, and we want someone else to tell us what the date and dates and all this are to be and what's going on. But understand that the purpose of a Bible prophecy is not to make a calendar, but to build character. Did you hear that? Did you catch that? That's the purpose of Bible prophecy. What is God saying to us as a church? What is God saying to us individually? The purpose of Bible prophecy is for God to work in our lives individually, and to work in our church collectively, and to work in the church universal collectively. That's why one of the reasons Bible prophecy is so exciting. Date setters, have you discovered this? Date setters are usually upsetters. I mean, they can get more people upset and get us upset if we allow it. But make no mistake about it, God has a timetable. And He wants His people to be alert and ready. All right, jot down 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read that here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And when you jot these down, do some of your own study regarding all of these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 and 2. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Now, I think that's interesting that Paul was addressing the church at Thessalonica, and he's saying, but you know, concerning the times and the seasons, you really have no need that I should write to you. Well, would he say that about First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove? I think that's a neat statement. I think that's a neat declaration. Well, the only reason he would say that is if we're up on biblical teachings, if we're up on biblical feasts, if we're up on biblical prophetic teachings, and if in fact we are a people who is giving discernment to the signs of the times. I just think this is a neat declaration that Paul is saying to the people at Thessalonica. He says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, and that's what he's given reference to as he goes beyond then in chapter 5, actually what preceded that in chapter 4, and that's a tremendous passage right there. You know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a what? Thief in the night. All right, now go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Write that down. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. There it is. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons... wait a minute. Maybe he's getting into the character issue here. He is. What manner of persons ought you to be in what? Holy conduct and godliness. So we're not dealing so much with a calendar here, but we're dealing with character. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I mentioned for you to jot that down as well, God outlines his timetable in simple fashions. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're not going to read that here, but it's verses 1 through 12. So read that, study that. And he outlines his timetable in simple fashion. And here they are. The removing from the truth, there's going to be an apostasy. There's going to be an apostasy. A removing from the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to be engaged in the truth. We don't want to be confronted with the truth. And I'm telling you, we're living in that day and age right now. And our society in America is the epitome of that in the world. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to deal with the truth. And we sure don't want some Bible thumper up here telling the truth. So the removing from the truth, and then the rapture of the church. Now, I don't fully understand all that, but Scripture's clear about it happening. There's going to be the incoming of Christ and the gathering up of the saints. Are you packed up and ready to go up? Are you ready for that? And I personally think it could happen any day. Now, the rapture of the church, then the revealing of the Antichrist, and then the return of Christ. Now, let's go back to the rapture of the church. You may say to me, Jay, are you a preacher that believes in the pre-tribulation rapture? I used to. You can discuss that at lunch. And you can say, ooh, I wonder what he believes now. Invite me to lunch. Okay, those four things. I actually have a luncheon date, so not today. Where are we? Now, do you remember the parable of the 10 virgins? You remember that? And study that again too. That jot that down. Matthew chapter 25. We don't have time to look at that today, but Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And study that. There's just a lot of teaching right there in the parable of the 10 virgins. But let me just spotlight a few things for you. They all thought they were destined to meet the bridegroom. Now follow this. It's a whole other sermon. But they all thought they were destined to meet the bridegroom. Five were wise. Five were foolish. Are you beginning to see where I'm heading with this one? I could pose some questions to us today, couldn't I? You feel like you're ready to meet the bridegroom? Feel like you're part of that crowd? Well, if so, what category are you falling in? Five were wise. Five were foolish. Five were prepared. Five weren't. Half didn't make it. And you'll read, when you study that passage, and you come to the last verse, verse 13, you will hear Jesus say, and read it there in print, when he says, watch. Watch. Wow, what a word of warning for us today, isn't it? Now, folks, these are perilous times. Now, they're exciting days, but we're living in perilous times, and it won't be long before planet Earth will become the playground for the Antichrist and his new world order. All right, now here's point number three this morning. We've looked at the signs unveiled, the saga unfolding. And again, there's just so much. We could take almost any one of the, I know we could take any one of these points, but we could take any one of these sub-points that I've shared with you today and create an entire sermon out of this. So that's why it behooves all of us, get your nose in the book and get your fingers going through the internet and studying this stuff for yourself. All right, here's number three, the storm unleashed. The storm unleashed. Now, not only are we being inundated with biological, geological, and astrological signs, but certainly with biblical eschatology. Now, I just want to spotlight a few key things that are transpiring right before our eyes. Actually, I think I've just got three things for you, and I could have chosen 33 things, but I think I've just got three things that I want to highlight and to spotlight over the next couple of minutes. And again, all I'm going to be able to do is just give you the topics of these things. But folks, these are things that you're reading in today's newspaper. I'm going to show this to you. These are things that you're reading in today's newspaper. This isn't stuff that I think is going to happen. This isn't stuff that happened 3 and 4 years ago. This isn't stuff that happened even a few months ago or a few weeks ago. These are things that are happening right now. So first of all, the recognition of Israeli sovereignty and declaration of the Golan Heights to be under Israeli control, okay? So the recognition of Israeli control of the Golan Heights, and that's stuff you've read over the last few days. I can guarantee you, I can easily find a newspaper that's dated today, and there's an article about it. And you've heard it on the news. And today's Sunday, and so if we had to skip church today in order to watch Meet the Press, I can guarantee it's one of the topics. Because it's what's happening right now. Now, the Golan is a piece of high ground seized from Syria in the 1967 Middle East War. And about two-thirds of the 700 square miles is under Israel's control. When Syria controlled the high ground, its military regularly used it to shell Israeli communities below. Israel's possession of the territory now gives its military a clear view of southern Syria all the way to Damascus, enabling Israel to monitor troop movements. And that's very, very critical for the security of Israel. Now, the timing of President Trump's declaration could certainly be extremely important because of the upcoming Israeli elections, which I'll say one word about that in just a moment. Or it could set the stage for part of the peace plan, which is going to be presented very soon, and I'll have more to say about that in just a moment. It's also interesting that there are huge, say that word with me, huge oil and gas reserves in the Golan. Predicted that these are so huge that they are much greater than anything in all of Saudi Arabia. I think that's going to be one of the hooks that God will use to draw Russia and Iran into its final combat position with Israel. Now, here's the second thing. So study that. Study that. I'm talking about the storm being unleashed. And we're like a story I heard one time about a family that was on Table Rock Lake and had a big pontoon boat and nestled it back. You ever heard that story? We are like that because I'm telling you, we're behind the tree line and we either can't see the storm clouds coming or we just don't pay any attention because we're having so much fun on the lake. So study this stuff. Here's a second thing, and that is the Psalm 83 war. Now, go ahead and turn in your Bibles. We're not going to spend time there because, again, we just don't have time. But look at Psalm 83, beginning with verse 1. But study that entire chapter, and it actually is an obscure piece of prophecy that most preachers don't engage in. But the Psalm 83 war is spelled out right here. And it says, keep not silent, O God, hold not your peace. Don't be still, O God, for lo, your enemies make a tumult. And they that hate you have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And then at verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. And so then it gives a list of names that you can hardly read. But if you'll study that, you'll find that the corresponding, it's not just countries. Some of them are countries. Some of them are land regions. And some of them are just confederate people, such as Hamas is listed in there as well. And Hezbollah. And so some of it are confederate people that hate Israel. And so the Psalm 83 war is based on a more recent interjection in prophetic timing of the final war of Ezekiel 38. And except for Turkey, there are different countries mentioned in this text that when you study them and find out the correlating countries or people groups, then you'll say, oh yeah, I know that. I know where that is, or I've heard about that. Well, these countries have been described as the inner circle around Israel and Ezekiel's battle as the outer circle. Now, not everyone agrees, and I'm not alone in my standing with this, but again, I understand this is prophecy, and man, I by no stretch of the imagination have a corner on the market of prophetic teaching. But there are many people who also agree with me but not everyone agrees that this will be a separate battle. I personally think it will be. It may just be setting the stage for the final battle. But it's definitely something to watch. And just last week when I picked up the paper and I read about three or four countries that were coming together because they hated what was going on regarding the Golan Heights issue. And I said to Kay, could be Psalm 83 tomorrow morning. Well, we just need to watch and keep our eyes open, as is also the destruction of Damascus. Every time I read about that, I think, man, isn't it gone yet? As per Isaiah 17. All right, now here's the final thing with regard to, we're still in point number 3, the storm unleashed. Now here's the final thing. So what I gave you was the recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights and the Psalm 83 war, and then finally the release of the Middle East deal of the century peace plan by President Trump and Jared Kushner. Now Jared Kushner is President Trump's son-in-law and White House senior advisor. And he went to the Middle East recently in order to promote the economic portion of a long-awaited U.S. plan for peace between Israel and the Palestinians in February, just 2 months ago, in order to gauge the level of support for what Trump is calling the deal of the century. Now, despite working on the plan for close to 2 years, Kushner has yet to release any details and has actually delayed its release repeatedly. Now, the Palestinians have preemptively rejected the plan. Even before they know it, they've rejected the plan, and President Mahmoud Abbas is saying that he will not negotiate with the United States in the wake of Trump's controversial decision back in December of 2017, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And you know, of course, then a subsequent moving of our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in 2018. So meanwhile, in speaking in Warsaw on February the 14th, less than 2 months, just a month and a half ago, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, said that Kushner will unveil the peace proposal, but it should come after the Israeli elections, which are to take place this year on April the 9th. Wait, what is today? It must be this week. That must be in 2 days. I think this is going to be an exciting week. I don't mind telling you. I'm anxious to see. Here's the last thing. I know I've given you some. You need to connect the dots. Get your nose in that book and look up. Look up. Because I'm telling you, your redemption is drawing near. Here's point number four. The salvation unparalleled. The salvation unparalleled. Now go back to our original passage today, Matthew chapter 16. And look at verse 4. Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And I'm not going to give you a sign. There won't be a sign given unto it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And I've already told you what that is, my friend. And we're living an exciting day and age. And man, this is an exciting month, because this is the month that we celebrate. The death, the burial, and the what? Yeah, Jesus said, "Go ahead and kill me. But you might slide back by the tomb in 3 days and check my pulse." I think I've told you before that experience right there was actually the very, very first timeshare. Because Jesus said, "Hey, I'm just going to use it for the weekend." Now keep in mind these things. History is His story. It's His story. We've read the last chapter, and we win. We win. I know. When you look at the final score, we win. Now, no one knows the time, but the times are apparent. Would you agree with that? Now, here's another interesting thing. You remember, it says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, that we will not know the day or the hour. You remember that? I'll be honest with you. I think we make too much of that. I think we try to use that to say, well, hey, nobody knows, so I'm not going to pay that much attention. Well, start paying attention. I'm going to illustrate this for you here. You start paying attention. The Bible's very clear that we need to discern the signs of the times. But now, preacher, Jesus said you won't know the day or the hour. No, let me ask you this. What if Jesus stood up here today and he said, I'm going to reveal this to the First Baptist Church, Mountain Grove. Don't tell anybody. I'm actually going to come back this Wednesday at 8 o'clock a.m. Wow. Okay, now here's my question to you. It doesn't say that you won't be able to discern the times. Matter of fact, the Bible's clear that you need to discern the times. It doesn't say that you won't be able to figure out what year, does it? It says what? You don't know the... except those of us here at First Baptist Mountain Grove, we know. And when is it? Wednesday it. Well, here's my question. Where's he coming? Now listen, follow this. He says, no man's going to know the day or the hour. Well, duh. Even if we knew it was Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where? What time is it now in Israel? It ain't Central Time. Everybody following what I'm saying here? I think maybe we make too much of that deal and we try to hide behind it. To say, well, you know, God says you're not going to know the day or the hour. That's because he's not telling you where you're going to show up. And what time zone you're supposed to live in. That's why I think he says, watch and look up. That's something else to discuss at lunch, isn't it? And I think the sleeping giant, the church, must wake up, stand up, speak up, and get prepared to be taken up. So here's what I'd do. Here's the last of the sermon right here. Here's exactly what I'd do. These items right here, if you bring that up, that last slide. I'd get saved. If you're not saved, I'd get saved. And I'll guarantee you, I've dealt with crowds enough for 50 years. Not everybody in this crowd is saved. Just the law of averages tells me that. Not everybody in this crowd is saved. You may be like one of the 10 virgins. Well, I think I'm supposed to meet the bridegroom. I'm going to say to you, if you don't know that you're saved, and I mean know it, if you don't know that you're saved, I'd get saved today. I'd be running down the aisle today. I'd get saved today. I'd get saved. I'd get right with God. You may be saved and you're not right with God. Well, get right with God. If you're not serving God, if you're not loving God, if you're not loving God's word, if you're not loving God's people, if you're ticked off with some of God's people and some of God's stuff and God's will, then I'd get right with God. I'd just flat out get right with God. I'd come to the altar today and get started right there. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out... where you've missed the boat and what you're doing, what you're not doing, or what you're supposed to be doing. And I'd get right with God. I'd get my finances right with God. I'd get my family right with God. I'd get things in order in my life. I'd get right with God. I'd get educated. Don't wait until next Sunday. Say, well, I wonder what Jay's going to preach to us next Sunday. Listen, I'd get educated. There's no reason for you not to have your nose stuck in that book. There's no reason for you not to be in the book and let the book be in you. There's flat out no reason for that, especially if you claim to be a Christian. Get your nose in that book and get the book in your heart and get the book in your life. I'd get educated. I'd get prayed up. I'd get prayed up. I'd get on fire for God. We get on fire for lots of different stuff. We get on fire about turkey season this morning. We get on fire about different seasons, and we get on fire about fishing. We get on fire about Cardinals ball games, and we get on fire for sports, and we get on fire for this and that, and we get on fire because we made a great, great buy down at the mall the other day. Listen, I'd get on fire for God. Get on fire for God. Get on fire for God. I'd ask God to fan the flame of my heart. I'd get on fire for God. I'd get serious about Christianity. I get more serious today than I've ever been in my life, ever in my life. I'd get serious about walking the walk and talking the talk. And then you look at that. Read that last one with me together. Get ready to meet God. Say it again. Get ready to meet God. God, it's happening. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. I'd get ready. Whatever that takes, I'd get ready to meet God. Listen, storm clouds are coming. Don't just lay down and lay on that pontoon boat, my friend. Get that boat going and get it back to shore and get it to the dock and get yourself to safety. Get ready to meet God. All right, let me pray with you. Father, these are exciting days. They're exciting days. I pray that you'd help the church to get excited about the soon return of Jesus Christ. Father, I don't understand it all, but I understand enough of it to know that we're in it. We're in those last days. And Father, I dealt with enough churches and people to know that not everybody here is saved. I pray for that person that isn't saved or is not sure about it. I pray for that person today to get right with you, to get saved. And I pray for this church to get on fire like it's never been on fire before, Lord, with a zeal to serve Jesus Christ like we've never, ever done before. With your heads bowed and your eyes still closed, let me ask you this. You'd say, Jay, I just don't know if I'm saved. I either know I'm not saved, or I just don't know if I am saved. That's the most critical question of the morning. So let me ask you, if you fall into that category, I know I'm not saved, or I don't know if I am saved, would you be strong enough just to lift your arm up right now? Just lift your hand up and say, Jay, pray for me because I need to get saved, or I need to know that I'm saved. So I'm going to pause just a moment. And if you fall in that category, then just lift your hand up and keep it up just for a moment right now. Okay. Now you would say, Jay, pray for me. Pray for me. Because my work's not done. I've got family members, I've got friends, I've got neighbors and relatives that they need Jesus. they need Jesus. I don't want Jesus to come today because there's somebody that needs Jesus that I'm close to, that I love. So pray for me that I would have the boldness to talk to them about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand up, please? All right. Yes, all over the auditorium. Lift it up and keep it up just for a moment. Up in the balcony. Yes. 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 Okay, I see those. Thank you. Thank you. And maybe you'd say, Jay, I know I'm saved, but I'm not walking with God like I need to. I'm not walking as close as I need to. I'm not on fire like I need to. Pray that God would motivate me by His Spirit to become more zealous for God than I've ever been in my life. Please pray for me in that regard. Now you lift a hand if that's you. All right, again, all over the auditorium and up in the balcony as well. Okay. Father, I pray for that individual that does not know Jesus today, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, I pray for individuals that are concerned about their family members and friends, loved ones that need Jesus. Father, we know these are urgent days, desperate days that we live in. Help us to be bold to talk to those that we love about their eternal relationship with God. Help us be unashamed of Jesus. And Father, there are many here today that they just need to have a point of dedication or rededication of their life. They need to walk away from the world and walk back into close relationship with You. They need a new zeal in their heart and their life. They need You to set a spiritual fire in their heart like they've never had before. Do it today, Lord, for Your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need Jesus, come on today. If you need to come to the altar and get things started, come on today. If you need to come to the altar and pray for people, come on today. Come on and do business with God. Let's stand together. You come.
No one else will do, 'cause nothing else could take Your place. To feel the warmth of Your embrace, help me find the way. Bring me back to You. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know You. Thank you.
Thank you for your attentiveness. I share that with you every week. And let me say this to you. If for some reason you need it, and I've heard this over the years. I've had people come forward the following week and say, you know, God, I was supposed to have come forward last week. Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure there's going to be a next week. If you needed to make a decision today, if for some reason you didn't, and just contact me personally. See me today and just say, you know, I need to visit with you. Or Pastor Jim. And just say, I need to visit. These are urgent, urgent days for us, folks. And let's be praying for one another. Let's ask God to set a fire in our hearts like a flame that's never been as hot for Jesus. I pray for people regularly and say to them, God, give them a hot heart for Jesus Christ. Well, ask God to do that in your own life. Once again, thanks for your attentiveness today. See you tonight at 6:00 for a study of Nehemiah and then business conference immediately following that. Now, I know that these last three messages have been longer than normal, whatever normal is for me. And I promise next week I won't be that lengthy. Oh, wait, I'm not preaching next week. Made it through that one, didn't I? Hey, don't miss next week. Tremendous musical celebration and worship time that we'll have next Sunday morning, and then the same repetition that afternoon. Great opportunity to bring people to God's house and to hear the gospel message. And so let me encourage you to do that as well. Our deacons of the week today are Scott Miller and Chase White. I think I've seen Scott here this morning. See here, Ren? Pardon? Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Steve Blackwelder, why don't you come on up here and lead us in a closing prayer, would you please? And man, I appreciate your singing. I appreciate the songs that you choose. They're always wonderful and just an inspiration to us. Love you, man. Lead us in prayer, would you please?
Father, we sit at your feet, Lord, to hear. Lord, help us to listen. Help us, Lord, to take action. Thank you for the warnings that you're giving us, Lord. Father, we believe that you're coming again. We believe that the redemption is drawing near. So, Father, as we go about our lives, oh, Lord, help me to just be a better witness, Lord, but to not have any fear, just reach out and touch people, Lord, and share with them. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for what it means in the lives of a lot of people. Lord, help us take that to the others in this community and around that do not know that, Lord. We thank you for the sermon that Jay and the series he's preached to us the last three Sundays. So, Father, I lift those up to you. Lord, I lift ourselves up to you. Father, just touch us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son. It's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.